So, brethren, when I talk about preaching that is pervasively evangelical, this is what I'm talking about. Preaching in which Christ forms the unspoken, at times, but very real context and flavor of our preaching. And this is so crucial that I want to commend to you by way of a little bibliography, these things for your perusal in days to come. Volume 3 of Brooks. And I know I've gone over my time, and I appreciate your forbearance. I'll be done here in 2 minutes. Volume 3 of Brooks, pages 207 to 223. I reread the section yesterday to make sure it was as good as I had put in my notes that it was, and it is. And then Gardner Spring, The Glory of Christ. If you can come across that, I think we may have a copy in our library, pages 25 to 33. I have in my notes here to give you a sample to whet your appetite, but I don't have time to. It's marvelous. And thank God for the reprinting of Gardner Spring's The Attraction of the Cross. And I would urge you to read and reread this book periodically throughout your ministry. He has a classic statement. Every truth in the Bible brings us at last to the cross, and the cross carries us back to every truth in the Bible. So that the sum and substance of all truth is most impressively proved, illustrated, and enforced by Christ and Him crucified. A right conception of what is included in the cross ensures a right conception of every important doctrine contained in the Bible. This is the hinge on which the whole system turns, and the great truth by which alone any and all truths can be understood. Someday I want to preach a series of sermons on the attributes of God, something I've never done. Preached a series on the attributes of God, but I want to preach it in this way. All of God's essential attributes most clearly revealed in the cross of Christ. It's a series that's been forming for many years in my own mind and heart, and I believe it. I believe with all my heart it's not artificial to say that every attribute of God comes to its fullest expression in the cross of Christ. It is the grandest display of who and what God is that was ever made in the moral universe. You'll find that emphasis in Spring's Attraction of the Cross, and then Volume 1 of Flavel, The Fountain of Life, a display of Christ in all of His various excellencies. And I want to do like the old preachers did. I want to conclude with an illustration, story. And I do that with a little story. But this was so moving. This past year, someone was kind enough, after I spoke so highly of Nicholas Murray, someone found his biography, and I read it with much delight to my soul. And there is this touching incident. And this happened right over here in Elizabethtown, New Jersey. The Sabbath was a chilly one in October, and in the middle of the sermon, I saw an old man rise at the end of the church with a large handkerchief thrown over his head, and placing his stick on the seat of the pew before him, leaned on its top to the close of the sermon. The attention of the old man was obviously fixed. His movement and appearance were so peculiar that I was induced to make inquiry in reference to him when I learned that he was a pensioner of the church. In other words, was receiving money out of the church's funds to support him. Of marked character, of subtle mind, of remarkable Christian experience, and of the most fervent piety. When he felt in the least drowsy under the preaching of the word, it was his habit to stand up so as to hear the gospel with all his powers all awake to the importance of the message. So that's what he was doing that day. He felt himself getting drowsy, put his cane on the pew, stood up. He wasn't going to miss a word of the sermon. In going my rounds the next day among the people to receive their donations to aid me in the erection of my church, I met this old man. He was in an old dilapidated gig drawn by a horse just like it, with his aged wife sitting by his side. They seemed all well stricken in years. He stopped, and Dr. M., who was going round with me, introduced me to a man who was affectionately called Father Miller. And the following words took place. You are the minister who wants aid to build a church, eh? Yes, sir. But I do not wish you to give anything. Ah, then you don't take anything from poor people like me, eh? The Savior did not prevent the widow from giving her mite, all that she had. Are you kinder to the poor than your master? I knew not what to reply. Take what he gives you, said Dr. M. So after searching his pockets and whispering to his wife, he handed me 2 shillings and 6 pence, saying, I wish it was $100, but it's all we have. God never permits us to want. We've always a little for his cause. We give you this with our prayers. The whole thing was said and done with a tone of simplicity and earnestness that deeply affected me. Having emptied his pockets, he then commenced to speak to me from the fullness of his heart. You, said he, are the young man who preached to us yesterday. I am. Well, that was a kind of missionary sermon, and I liked it well. It is necessary to preach such sermons occasionally. They are not the gospel. You are young, and I am old. You know a great deal more than I do, but dear young minister, preach Christ. If you wish to be useful, preach Christ. If you wish to be a blessing to the church, preach Christ. You may never see this poor old man again. If not, let my last words to you be, preach Christ. I was moved beyond the power to reply. And after slapping the old horse 3 or 4 times with the reins, he slowly walked away. Upward of 1/4 of a century has passed since that interview. Father Miller and his wife have long since gone to heaven, but the impressions still abide. The spot where it occurred, the appearance of the aged couple, are indelibly impressed on my mind. Had I the pencil of an Angelo, I could paint them to the life. I subsequently became that man's pastor. His entire life to its close was in perfect keeping with that first interview. For him to live was Christ. Everything to him was dross and dung that he might win Christ. And although for years a pensioner of the church, we all felt when he fell that one of the strongest pillars of our church was removed. If you wish to be a blessing to the church, preach Christ. How often have these admonitory words rung in my ears and burned in my heart to preach Christ as Paul preached him, the world over, to saint and sinner, as the great remedy for all the moral woes of our race. This is the grand duty of the ministry. To this one duty, everything must be made subordinate and subservient by the ministry. And then he goes on to demonstrate that in the history of the church, those who were owned of God were those who had much of Christ in their preaching. Well, I thought you'd appreciate the words of that old man just a few miles down the road. And who knows but what he, being dead, yet speaks, and his words will follow us all of our days. Let's pray.